Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Because God has more. Hallelujah. Don't feel bad if you don't understand everything. It's all right. You don't have to understand everything. God didn't call us to live by understanding. He called us to live by faith. And if you're in services where you understand everything that happens every time you meet, God's not there. When God shows up, you're going to see things you cannot figure out. I'm excited about what he's going to do here in just a few minutes, but like I said, he's got to redirect because there's more. The Lord spoke a word to me, just a single word. He said 2024 is going to be a year of increase, and he had been speaking that to Mike, and I think, if I'm not mistaken, Mike, it was an increase in the measure of the Spirit, an increase in gifts, and the miraculous. And so I didn't talk to Mike. Mike didn't talk to me. I know there's been leaders in congregations that they want to be in control of everything. I get that. I'm just not that way. It's so weird. A lot of the stuff you see around here, I just didn't have anything to do with. And things even that pertain to me. I remember one time a lady, and they were beautiful chairs, I thought they looked nice. She bought two great big chairs and set them up on the stage, and the preachers would sit in the chairs, nobody said it to me, but somebody was saying it, and they said, well, there's Barry God up on his throne. And so as soon as I heard that, I took the chairs off the stage because I never want attention directed at me. I want attention directed to Jesus. And then they put up the parking signs out there for me and Kat. I did not ask for that. Didn't have anything to do with that. It's nice. But it wasn't my idea. I don't take special offerings for me. I think one time I took an offering for Kathy on her birthday. People that say things about offerings for Kathy and I and the other ministers, I don't have anything to do with that. It's extremely awkward to me. If you think it's not awkward to have them sit here while you're sitting there and talk about giving money to them, it's weird. Yeah, it's weird. See, when you're an introvert like me, if they sing happy birthday to you, you just want to crawl in a hole. I don't like it when they sing happy birthday to me. It makes me feel so weird. And if you're an extrovert, you don't understand that. You're like, well, why can that make you feel weird? Well, if you could just get in my head for one day, you would be so glad that you don't live there. But the Lord said 2024 was going to be a year of increase. I talked about this Wednesday night. We don't record Wednesday night, so if you want Wednesday night, you're just going to have to come. That's all I can tell you. We haven't figured it out yet. We're trying to get it where we can live stream on Wednesday night. But in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, Acts 3 and 19, I love this passage. I've been preaching this passage ever since I started preaching a long time ago. Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Luke is literally saying, repent, change the way you think. You got to have a different way to think. That's all repentance means. I've heard people say it means so much more, but it doesn't. I don't speak Greek. I'm not very good at pronouncing it, but it literally means change the way you think. The mind is so important when it comes to coming to God. Change the way you think and return. Return to what? Return to God. See, a lot of people, they say that's what repentance means, is to turn to God, but that's not what repentance means. Repentance means change your mind. The word that says, and be converted, that be converted means return to God. You must be born again. You repent, you change the way you think, and then you've got to be converted. Then you have to return. But you can't return until you change the way you think. I like to tell people, as long as you think there's anything other than Jesus for salvation, you have not changed the way you think. If you think that salvation is 99.99999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999999 you, which is just a small percentage, you're wrong. You're not thinking right. Salvation has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with Jesus. And you got to change your mind to that. You got to quit thinking. One of my favorite preachers in the Baptist movement, Paul Washer, he is fierce. He said, if anything to do with your salvation hinges on you, you will go to hell. That's where your mind has to go. Christ and Christ alone. If God didn't love me so much, I couldn't make it. He's the only way for me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. He rescued me. He saved me. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. That's where your mind has to get. When your mind gets there, then you return to God. As long as you are determined that it hinges upon yourself, you're never going to make it. It's on Jesus and Jesus alone. And he's telling us to return to where we came from. God made man a living soul, and the purpose of Jesus being born, living a sinless life, dying for our sin and resurrecting from death is to return men and women, boys and girls, to the Almighty. We just came out of a season of repentance and pruning and refining. And now we're entering a season of refreshing. That word refreshing, I don't speak Greek, and that is a really hard one to pronounce. Anapsoukos. Anapsoukos. It's about as close as I'm going to get. It literally means a recovery of breath. Have you ever had the breath knocked out of you? Man, that's a helpless feeling. I mean, when all the air goes out of you and you just can't breathe. You want to breathe, but you can't. But if you will change the way you think, if your thinking becomes solely centered and focused upon Jesus, His work on the cross, His resurrection, God said, I'll let you catch your breath. It also means revival. Hallelujah. Revival simply means coming back from the dead. Hallelujah. I was dead, but now I'm alive. God said the word for 24 is increase. Like I said, God's been speaking to Mike for a couple of weeks, even before I felt released to share the word. There's an increase in the spirit, an increase in the demonstration, and we need to be moving toward that, embracing that, saying, yes, Lord. We need to learn to say, yes, Lord. I know we say it a lot, but we ought to just keep saying it. There's two things in revival that I think are paramount. One is, yes, Lord. And the second is more. 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 See, that's what's going on at the front of the church during worship on Sunday mornings. These people are in pursuit of more. Because revival, the heart cry of revival is more. When revival broke out at Pensacola, they had a prayer team. There were thousands of people, 2,000 or 3,000 people in the sanctuary. However many it would hold, it was full every night. And the prayer team would be going around praying for people. And it was hard to get prayed for because there wasn't enough prayer team and there was too many of us. And everybody would be kind of chasing Steve Hill and Brother Kilpatrick around trying to get them to pray for him. And all through the congregation, when you could hear anything, because sometimes it was so loud you couldn't hear much, but when a prayer team member would come by, so often all you would hear was, more, 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 more. And people say, well, I don't understand that. If you don't think that you need more of God, I don't know what to say. You must be sick. You have no spiritual appetite. What's the first thing that goes when you get really sick? That stomach bug that was going around that Ryan said, "Dad, you don't want this." I said, "Well, maybe we ought to cancel service tonight." He said, "I think that's a good idea." Okay. Because I don't want a stomach bug. I can't remember who I was talking to. I said I hadn't thrown up in 25 years, but that was not true because it came to me the last time I threw up. Whenever they operated on my back the first time in 2008, so whatever that was, 15 years ago, whatever that is, they gave me so many narcotics, Dilaudid, morphine, Demerol, just trying to get the pain under control. The nurse told Kathy, "We can't give him anything else. We almost killed him just a little bit ago." But there was no controlling the pain, and they gave me so much narcotic that I started just throwing up, just all the way. I mean, my toenails. Just every few minutes, I was throwing up again. And that was the last time I threw up, and I will fight it. I hate throwing up. I'll fight it. And see, I know I'd feel better if I would, but I hate it so much that I don't want to go through it to feel better. And so I said, let's don't have church tonight. Because I don't want to get sick. He said, "Well, that's not much faith." Well, the next time I get sick, I'm going to come kiss you right on the lips. We'll just see how much faith you got. A holy kiss. Jason called me yesterday and he said, "We've been exposed to COVID. What do you think you ought to do?" And I said, "Well, you do what you want to do, but if you come, I ain't going nowhere near you. Thanks for the warning. Because I'd have hugged you otherwise. But I ain't touching you now." The first thing that happens to us when we get sick is we don't want to eat anything. And when you get sick, the last thing that you eat, you never want to eat it again. If you have no appetite for God, if you have no appetite for more, you got to know you're sick. And I'm sorry that offends you. There's probably somebody just turned it off because they didn't want to hear that. Don't touch that dial. You've got to know if you have no spiritual appetite for more of God, you're sick. The good news is He's the healer. I've been in places where I wasn't sick or where I was sick, where I had no appetite for more of God. And all I did was ask God to make me hungry for Him. And He did. In Joel chapter 2, this is the prophetic word for increase. This is what Peter quoted in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Verse 28, Joel prophesies, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out of my spirit on all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I'll pour out my spirit in those days." And Joel is talking about the last days. And so 2,000 years ago on the day of Pentecost, the last days began. We are in the last days. I don't care what anybody says. God is, He's just right. He has proven Himself true over and over and over. And it's, I can't remember who said it, Spurgeon. I can't remember for sure who said it. But if you doubt the Bible's truth, if you doubt that the Bible is from God, just look at the Jew. Look at Israel. Because you have a 5,000 year history of that nation. God said, I'll disperse them to the four corners of the earth. They will not even be a nation. And then I will gather them then again. I'll bring them from the four corners. They'll mount up on the wings of eagles. And I'll bring them home. And the nation will be reborn in a single day. It's never happened in the history of the modern world. Not a single time has a nation become not a nation and then become a nation again in the same land that they were scattered from. And people still today are like, how did that happen? You got a majority of people in the world that wish it had not happened. You have people in the world that's still calling for their eradication. Palestine from the river to the sea. That's what they say. I got news for them. They're wrong. Because God said once they're regathered, they will never be dispersed again. As a matter of fact, God's going to gather all the armies of the world against Jerusalem, and he will smite them with the fierceness of his wrath. And then all Israel and the world will know there is a God. It's going to happen. Brace yourself. It's going to happen. But in the time right now, we're in the last days, and so we have a promise of God saying, I'm going to give you more. Because you stop and think, just be logical for a second. He said, I will pour out my spirit. Now, if you're pouring something out, wherever you're pouring it to, it's increasing. Hallelujah. Verse 32 says, and it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For in Mount Zion, in Jerusalem, there shall be deliverance. His name is Jesus. This all started 2,000 years ago. And right now, we're in it. 1 Timothy 1 and 18 says, this charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you waged a good warfare. We're in the season of increase. We have the promise that in the last days he'll pour out his spirit on all flesh. So wage a good warfare according to that prophecy. God, you promised to pour out your spirit. And if you're not hungry, just be honest with him. Say, God, I have no appetite for it. I don't understand it. I don't like it. I don't know what you're doing. But if it's of you, God, give it to me. And then just throw this out there and say, but I'll never act like those people up there. I double dog dare you. I want you, God, but you're not doing that to me. I'm going to laugh and laugh and laugh. We are in the season of increase. We are in the season of revival. And I believe it would do us well to fight accordingly. I believe our praying, fasting, declaring, and prophesying needs to be according to what God has said He's going to do. God is the only person in the universe that can cause more of Himself to increase in a place more and more and more. He said it. He said, I'll pour out my Spirit. If you're pouring, you're increasing it somewhere. John 3, verse 34 says, for he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. It's talking about Jesus. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. The Father loves the Son, and He has given all things into His hand. God gave Jesus the Spirit without measure. That's why He could speak to Lazarus and Lazarus came alive. That's why He could walk on water. That's why He could raise the dead. That's why He could heal lepers. That's why He healed all kinds of sick people. That's why He cast out devils with no problem. When nobody else could cast the devil out, Jesus could. Because He had the Spirit without measure. And so if God is going to increase His Spirit upon us, then we should begin to start seeing some of the same things that Jesus did. I've never heard of anywhere in the world where anybody did all the things that Jesus did. Now, we've seen some amazing things. We've seen a million people get saved in one night with Reinhard Bonnke. We've never seen that Jesus, we never hear of any kind of record of that in the Bible. So we know that there are going to be people that do more things, greater things, the Bible says. Hallelujah. That's a good place to be. But even if we never get to where Jesus was, more is still better. And I would love to see the greater things. We go to a conference most every year with Randy Clark and Global Awakening, and that's what the conference is called, Greater Things. And I want to see it. I do. But I'm also like Joyce Meyer. I'm shooting for the stars, but shooting for the stars and getting the moon is better than believing for nothing and getting it all. If I never see everything I'm believing for, but I see something, that's better than nothing. And that's where a lot of people are. They don't expect anything. Well, if God wants to do it, He just will. I had two or three things I was going to say about that, but I'll decide to be nice. We see God increase the measure of His Spirit in the book of Acts. We see God increase the measure of His Spirit even in the dedication of the temple. The Spirit was so poured out that priests could not even stand to minister. The point is, if God is pouring out His Spirit in increasing measure, then we should start seeing some things. Does that make sense? The more of God's Spirit that's being poured out, the more signs, wonders, and miracles we should begin to see. More salvations, more healings, more miracles, more deliverance. That's what Jesus saw. That's what we should see. This should be tangible. It should not just be a good feeling. And don't get me wrong, I love the feeling of the presence of God, but there's more. See, people have been asking why these same people keep coming up for prayer. It's because they want more. They have an appetite for more. They want to see God move more. They want to see increase. More of God equates into more things from God. And I'm not talking about material things. I'm talking about the spiritual blessings from God, the increased measure of His Spirit, the increased freedom of sin, self, and idolatry, increase into the miraculous, increase into wisdom, knowledge, and virtue. And you should ask yourself, why do I have no desire for these things? Why are we not hungry for such things? In 2 Peter chapter 1, and with this passage I will close. Simon, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Whose righteousness? The righteousness of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. More. More grace. More peace. In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Peter is telling us, as your knowledge of God and your knowledge of Jesus increases, so will grace and peace. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, again, through the knowledge of Him who has called us to glory and virtue, more knowledge translates into more of God, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add more, increase, add. We're not supposed to just stay in one place. We're not supposed to be satisfied. We're supposed to be hungry for increase. You say, well, I'm feeling guilty and ashamed. Why? I told you what to do. God, make me hungry. He will. He is faithful. Give all diligence. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control. This is all increase. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on. He says, if these things don't abound in you, if you're not adding these things, if increase is not happening in your life, he said, for he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness. You know, that's one of the prophetic words that we have, is that God is going to open blind eyes, physical and spiritual. There are many in the body of Christ that they are blinded to the reality that God wants them to grow. Wigglesworth said two consecutive days on the same spiritual plane, you are backslidden. We're to be ever increasing in the knowledge of God. That's where it begins. We get it in our head, and He transforms our hearts. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know how you read that, but I read it as Peter saying, we need more. It's not about more of us. It's about more of Him. It's not about our trying real hard to do better. I'd never see that about God. It's always increasing in our knowledge of Him. It's always growing nearer to Him. And one of the things that does that in our lives is a desire to know Him. We have to be hungry to know the things of God. We don't just pluck these things from the sky. Peter is talking about everything he's talking about right here comes from God. And I believe that these are just a few examples of why the cry of revival has always been more. It's always more. And I know, you know, I've heard people say, well, why are you going to do more? You don't do anything with what you got. Being quiet again. You could hear it all across the floors at Pensacola. More. More. More, Lord. More. 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 As we stand to our feet this morning, the invitation is two-part. One is if you're not hungry for the things of God, by all means, come and just make a line across here and say, God, I need to be hungry. I am not hungry for spiritual things. Just be honest with God. And nobody will know that that's what you're praying, because the invitation is also for people that want more. So the people may think that you're just after more of God, so you don't have to worry about what they think. If you want to be hungry, if you want more, as the music begins to play, I'm just going to ask you to come. If you want to be hungry, if you want more, come. Come. If you want to be hungry and you want more, come. Come.
When my heart becomes free and my shame is enough.
When we're getting ready to receive, like a gift or something, when somebody walks up to us and they're going to hand us a box, and we're getting ready to receive from the Lord. So I just want you to put your hands or your hand out. Say, I want more, Lord. I want more. I want more. Let the cry of revival be in this place. More, Lord. more. Give us more, Lord. Oh, Jesus. More. More, Lord. More hunger, more thirst, more God. Oh, Jesus. More. More. We want more, Lord. Increase, Lord. You said in the last days, you would pour out of your Spirit upon all flesh. Here we are, God. Pour out your Spirit, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.